paying for the choices I have done if I could go back. Oh, Lord knows I'd run. I've been losing this game of life I play. Oh, Jesus, forgive me for wrong choices I've made. For me and our house of worship, we shall choose him. Choose him rather than choose passing pleasures of sin. Make the choice to obey, or else choose to pay. We have such choices. Choose to serve him and sing to him today. Choices. Jesus, you paid for all the wrong things I have done, and now, Lord Jesus, from sin I do run. Now I'm winning as I live life your way. Oh, Jesus, forgive the wrong choices of me. Now the choices made when I was born again are the voices that keep me false in. Now I listen. On the rock I stand today, ready to live with the choice I made. A Bible in his saddlebag, a prayer upon his lips. He rode the long and dusty trail upon his endless trips. He brought the words of Jesus Christ and met the gospel call. The circuit pride and preacher, a Western messenger of Paul. Lord. 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It is, June 8th, 2023. We've got the phone lines open tonight. If you want to give us a call, 307-745-5913. And be glad to take your call. And it's kind of got flood warnings out. Just had my phone go off just a few minutes ago with an alert. And kind of crazy weather around, but it is springtime. And we're in a different kind of spring than we've had in the last few years anyway. We're coming out, it seems like we've come out, at least for now, of a drought. And it's wet around here, so that's a good thing. It is, and we're thankful for that. Well, we're going to open up in prayer before we do anything else. We encourage you to do that, Remnant. We sure try to do that here to start our day in prayer, to start trips and endeavors and things like that. And certainly I need to start this program with prayer. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the ability, Lord, and the possibility that you give us, that you give me to be here at this Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to share your word with your people, to talk about some current events and what you put on my mind, and Lord, hopefully to encourage your people, Lord, those that love you, that see these events of the day through your eyes, Lord, through the glasses and the lens of the Scripture, and with a scriptural understanding. And Lord, in spite of everything, we see and we know and we claim that you are in control, that you are still in control, you remain, and that, Lord, you work all things for good for those that love you. And we thank you for that. Guide and direct me tonight, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and guide and direct me, O Lord, and bless your remnant. Bless those out there that love you. And that are trying, Lord, to do the right thing, that are turning from the ways of the world and turning to you, Lord, in their work, in their home, in their life, in their thoughts. Be with us. Guide and direct us in those things, Lord. Forget us not, O Lord. Strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to continue to be not ashamed of you, to continue to walk in your ways and to share your goodness, your mercy, your hope with this hopeless world. Thank you, Lord. And I do all this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, amen. Well, lots going on. Do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call. Been out of the office, be out of the office tomorrow, probably again Tuesday. We are printing volume 4 of The Dragon Slayer. We print that in-house. That is the most economical way to do that. We've been doing that for years. And so volume 4, it's the completion of the Gun Control in America, part 2 of Pastor's pamphlet, and some other things as well. And so we ask for your prayers on that, and we're printing it. Got a good bin of it printed today. We'll be back down at the print shop in the morning to be printing some more on that. It'll take a day or two next week as well, and then we'll get it in the mail next week, good Lord willing. So we appreciate your prayers and your support for that Dragon Slayer newsletter, and we don't charge for it. If you'd like to get the Dragon Slayer newsletter, we email it out. And we mail it out as well. We can send it to you whichever way you'd like. You just contact us and say, hey, send me that Dragon Slayer. And we'll send you a sample copy, if nothing else. See what you think. And if you don't want it, that's fine. But if you do, just let us know. We'll be glad to send it. Jason has got another new book that we're advertising in this volume 4, Dragon Slayer, and it's a gardening type. It's called The Ecological Farm. The eco would be the way to do it. The Ecological Farm,
a minimalist, no-till, no-spray, selective weeding, grow your own fertilizer system for organic agriculture. And it says it's an essential guide to resilient, low-input methods for market gardeners and orchidists. And so I just got them in today, literally. And looking through it, it looks quite interesting. Good pictures here of, hey, make sure you can identify between weeds and what you want to grow and things like that. And just looks like a great book. Just, again, I think a mass of information, of knowledge, I think, that is here that, you know, beneficial insects and crop management, troubleshooting. It's got a whole list of what to do with cutworms and angular leaf spot and bacterial spotter aster yellows and how to deal with it without using Roundup type products. And so that's, again, that sure seems to be one of the big pushes today that people are wanting to get back to. And so we're advertising it in this next newsletter, so keep your eyes open for that. I'll get it up on the cart. Oh, probably might be Saturday or Monday to get it up on the cart. Because, like I said, we're scrambling on the newsletter right now, and that's just that's a several full day event to get that going. But working on that new book that we're advertising for you. See what you think about that, and I've got them in stock if it's something you're interested in, and it just is going along the lines of what we've been trying to, at least one part of what we've been trying here at the ministry to do, to find this and share it and make it available to you, the remnant. You know, these good, practical, knowledgeable books on whether it's gardening or a family cow or vegetable gardening. Many people don't have a lot of room to have a 2-acre garden. I sure don't. Can't do that here in Laramie. But container gardening and over the winter gardening and just different things like that. We've shared a lot of the books with the remnant, and that's been a good thing. So we've got it. I'll get it on the cart, like I said, by Saturday. But if it's something that is you're interested in, it'll be out in this next newsletter, The Ecological Farm. I like these books. They present practicality from a user's standpoint. I've got a gardening book. It must be 30 years old. And it's more of a highfalutin, maybe for the king's garden. And the pictures are nice, but I don't get a whole lot out of that. I've just picked it up at the Five and Dime here years ago. But these books, The Ecological Farm and Veg Gardening and these books that Jason has found that we've been carrying these last few years, they are full of practical applications. I think it's Will Bonsall's Guide to Radical Gardening or something like that. I'm reading through that again, and I've put some of his suggestions and recommendations into practice in composting and things like that in the garden. And I'm seeing good results, and that's a good thing. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. I did see this headline today. I thought it was a good one. You know, they've been talking about the poor air quality back east because of the fires in Canada. And the weather pattern has been such, like for the last week or 10 days, that all this smoke is coming down. And I've seen pictures and headlines of almost apocalyptic looking bridges and skylines in New York and Virginia and D.C. and places like that. You know, we get that out here out west quite frequently. but they are experiencing it to a new level. They're kind of in the Northeast. And one good thing I saw out of it, I saw that Washington, D.C. and O'Biden and his administration had planned the big LGBTQ praise benefit thing tonight in D.C. And because of the poor air quality, they just have to postpone it. And so isn't that just a shame that they just can't have it tonight? And I say praise the Lord. And so we see things happening. We don't always know why. We don't always know the outcome of what it's going to be. But I thought that was a good point on that. Something has been on my mind the last few months. Been seeing a lot about it. Haven't had the opportunity to really research a lot and look into it. I've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 different sets of research that I did finally get printed out and looked up for tonight. But it's on this this huge modern day phenomena that is just catching everybody and just seems to be the big deal of the day, and that's the AI, artificial intelligence. And I'm sure you've probably heard of it. This is like a, how many pages did I get here? A 11-page article on, or 10-page article on AI. It's from The Wired, and they usually have some pretty good stuff. And it just talks about, it's their guide to artificial intelligence. To kind of, you know, not going to go over all of that tonight, certainly, but the different things that that it's used for, what the plans are, and in some of these articles, they're putting out words like, "Oh, we're witnessing the dawn of a new era." We are going to see our lives change as dramatically as we did with the arrival of personal computers and the internet or smartphones. The Google CEO back in 2016 even said that, this is going to have a bigger impact on us than fire or electricity. And it's really being played up in the, really all over the world, not just here, but, you know, these articles, they talk about that AI, artificial intelligence, isn't intelligence. It isn't the future. It's now. And I just wanted to share a couple of highlights that I saw in these to share with you. And one here says the last couple of years have seen huge growth of the world, some of the world's biggest companies focusing their efforts on building these artificial intelligence abilities into everyday products and services, which it says has brought us to the point we're at today. A lot of what they talk about artificial intelligence is, it originally was called machine learning or deep learning. It kind of involves what they call training computers to perform tasks based on examples rather than relying on programming by a human. And so they call that learning or deep learning, machine learning, where they're given examples and they so-called learn. One thing I heard listening, traveling today back from the print shop was on National Public Radio. They were just having a giddy old time talking about AI. So this morning I listened in just a little bit and they were talking about it, how the different companies are using it and this and that. Well, this afternoon they had a couple different ones on and they were talking about it was, they just thought it was so neat that they were using AI generated news stories. That National Public Radio, which is funded by your tax dollars and mine, okay, and they're the most communist, left-leaning, liberal libtards that there ever existed, in the history of man, on National Public Radio for sure. But they just thought it was the neatest thing. They'd say, okay, now this is. Then they had an AI generated voice of like a duplicate voice, a copy of one of their reporters. So the reporter would say, "This is Bill Franklin reporting from NPR," and they got with a company. I didn't get the name of it, and it was for this news story, of course. And so they sent the text of what they wanted to be duplicated, the reporter saying several things, several different recordings of him speaking, and then the AI company comes on and says, "Well, this is the first duplication. This is what it first sounded like," and it was like blah blah blah. It was all robotic. And then they said, "But what we did is it would listen to what it came up with, the computer would, and then it would listen to the reporter's voice again. And after it, and it would improve each time. It would improve. It was like filtering, and like the what they call machine learning, performing a task based on the examples that it was finding, as opposed to a person programming it in saying, you know, like we use a little program called SoundForge when we do recordings, and we can do a recording and go through SoundForge and. If there's like a bad hum, we can locate the hum and tell it to take it out. We tell the program what to do. Okay, that's just using a computer. But this AI, what it was doing with this reporter's voice is it was running all this itself. It was listening. And so the person from the company said, you know, after about, it took it like 4 days, but after like 200,000 learning periods over the course of just a few days, the voice came back and it sounded exactly like the reporter. And the reporters just thought that was the neatest thing. Oh, this is just neat. This will let me be lazy. This will let me sit out on the beach and my AI counterpart can do all the things that I need to be doing. And it just... And I think one of the reasons NPR is putting it out is that they just want to make it commonplace. I saw some advertisement for a movie about like clones or something like that. These AI robots that, anyway, whatever. So we're seeing it all in all types of society. They're telling their story. They're telling a story in the movies that we've seen, whether it's the Terminator movies. Whether it was the old, I forget, what was the old space movie that had the, way back in the 60s or 70s, that had the HAL, HAL 2000, that worked the spaceship. And the astronaut says, "HAL, open the airlock." And the computer, HAL, says, "I don't want to do that anymore." And something like that. I don't remember it. Heck, it was before my time. But our enemy has done this. This hasn't just happened overnight. This has been coming up on and on. One part of the research I saw was this from IBM is called Watson AI. Watson, like Sherlock Holmes' assistant, Watson, right? And that's what it is. It's supposedly an assistant. You call them, they'll set you up with it for. They'll improve your work processes and your productivity, and they can help with coding and document parsing and gathering. Like if you've got 10 million documents, this computer can go through it and then recognize everything and categorize it. And it'll work with you on new development and hardware and inventing and just all kind of stuff. Oh, it's just the neatest little thing. And that's on one side of it. And on the other side, if you've seen, we've talked about it just a little bit over the years, but you can Google it, the Boston Dynamics robots that they've come up with. And they are not programmed robots. They are robots that react, that learn, that have machine learning and deep learning in what they do and how they do it. Whether it's the robots that you see doing the parkour, running up and down steps and stairs and loading plywood and unloading things, or the robot dogs. And they're out in military and civilian use now, these dogs, and some of the carts. And so that one article that says, you know, we are at the beginning, we're witnessing the dawn of a new era. Well, I think we are. At least that's what these that have put this AI together. But it's certainly not all good. It's not. It is artificial, and it's not intelligence. It is wanting, because you know what? We're going to do our best to give you a biblical perspective of it. I think this is mine. I haven't talked it over with Jason or anybody. It's just what I'm thinking that it is. But it's rebellion. It's just that age-old wanting to do better than God. It ties right in with so much other of what is going on in the land today of wanting to modify, change, destroy God's creation in Adam. Whether it's the modified RNA shot, the mRNA that is in all the livestock animals in Europe, it's just throughout all that, just to make it better. Oh, to make it better, they say, and they're wanting to push it here. In Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses, verse 6 says, "Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people?" And to answer that honestly, we would have to say yes. This is how, as a people, we have repaid God. It goes on and says, "Is he not your father who bought you? He has made you and established you." But see, the enemies of God, well, he's not their father. He hasn't established them. No, they're established when we sin as God's people. And I think this AI is just I think it is another step toward It's another phase of Babylon. How about that? Another phase of Babylon. Another attempt to destroy Adam. To destroy Adam's offspring. And that's me and you, remnant. That's the sheep of Jesus Christ's pasture. Because he said, "My sheep hear my voice." And so when he walked on this earth, in Galilee and in Jerusalem and places, his sheep heard his voice and answered his call. Not just the fishermen in Matthew, the tax collector. No, but there were hundreds, there were thousands, there were tens of thousands that heard his voice because they were his sheep and answered. They answered the call of the Great Commission, right? To take the gospel all throughout the world and teach. And the descendants of those people are the Christians in this land today that hear his voice and that are continuing, that have that law written on their heart, right? It's not like they have to be taught right from wrong. Oh, many of them have it masked, and many of them, because of generational curses or generations of, as Deuteronomy 32 says, of turning away from God. It sure seems like we're falling into the same times as when the gospel was first taken to the dispersion. That had settled in the European continents, the European nations. And they had forgotten God. They were druids, and they had, you know, they were agnostic and worshipped anything and everything, all types of idols. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ came, see, it came to his people. And that law was written on their heart. And when they were introduced to the true God, the big G God, and his son Jesus Christ, well, they accepted that. That wasn't automatic. No, it took time. It took time. And we're seeing that. I think we are seeing that same thing here. You know, a little further in Deuteronomy 32, verse 15 says, verse 7 says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father and he will inform you. Your elders and they will tell you. Now, unfortunately, we have very few fathers and very few elders in the land today to ask. But we have the scriptures. And we have some of us that, have been reading this and learning this and doing our best to obey this for the last 30 plus years. But we skip on down to verse 15. It says, but Jeshurun, and that's a symbolic of Jacob Israel, of God's people. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek. And see, that's just where we are today as a people. We see it all around us, right? Fat and thick. I think that's where the term fat and happy comes from. How you doing? Oh, we're just fat and happy here. Like, that's a good thing. You know, the 3% that fought in the American Revolution, that fought the British Empire, they were not fat and happy. Either before the conflict, during it, or after. They weren't. But we've got that drilled into our heads today that that's how we need to be. Oh, we just need to be fat and happy. Just work enough to have enough, ain't Budweiser no more, no. But have enough natural light for the weekend. And just kick back and go fishing and do whatever I want to do. Ride the four-wheeler and I just fat and happy over here. That's not a good thing. It's not. Verse 15 again, but Jeshurun grew fat and thick. You are grown fat, thick and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. And we have abominations in the land today. Verse 17 says, they sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. Yeah, new gods of LGBTQ, that our fathers didn't know anything about that. And new gods of transgenderism and this DEI, right? Diversity and equity and inclusion. See, they're just God. They're just small g gods, just demons. That's what all this is. I think we talked last Thursday night. We mentioned a little bit about I read about how the natural man does not discern these things. Most of who were around Remnant are the natural man. They are not spiritually discerned. And so they don't see these things. We do. You do, and I do, and so it's our job to point our friends and our family and those that are still blind to these scriptures and do our best to explain it to them so that they can have their eyes opened as ours have been. Verse 18 says, you neglected the rock. That's a big R, rock. You neglected the rock who begat you. Who begot you and forgot the God who gave you. The rock. Who is the rock but Jesus Christ? Right? If your house is built on the solid rock, it'll stand through the storms. The rock of Jesus Christ. being talked about here in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses. They talk about it in Deuteronomy 28 as well, the blessings and the curses. And I think God speaks to all of us in Ezekiel 2. I encourage you to read it, Ezekiel 2. I don't have time to read all of it tonight. But Ezekiel 2, chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me." And that is where we find ourselves. You know, Pastor had so much of a teaching ministry, just part of it, a teaching ministry, opened my eyes and yours to these truths. To these truths of who we are and what we must do for salvation. That yes, we must believe. But Romans tells us, James 2 tells us that even the demons believe. So a little common sense tells us we have to do more than just believe. You know, if you believe, if you're in the dark and you believe that light switch, if you flip that light switch up, that the light will come on. And you believe that with all your heart, mind, and soul. I believe you can know it. I know if I flip that switch, the light will come on. But if you never flip the switch, if you never put that belief into action, that's called faithing it. If you don't put your belief into action, in that example I'm giving, you'll still be in the dark room. Right? You can believe it all you want. But if you don't put that belief into action, well, I believe that if I flip that switch, the light will come on. But if you never flip the switch, your belief does you no good. So you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because He is. And that He came to save that which was lost, because He did. And He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He did do that. And He tells us that just as He, and then He overcame death. And He tells us that we can overcome death as well. But we have to do more than just believe. We have to apply that belief. We have to repent of our sins. And the Bible says we have to be baptized. Acts 2:38 talks about it. Where else? Galatians 3:27, Romans 6, just all over. So, anyway, didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but this in Ezekiel reminds me of that, we are being sent to a rebellious people who have rebelled against Him. And we have taught, we have had the privilege and the opportunity to learn this underneath a great teacher. So now, it's our turn. See, now I'm not saying the mantle passes on, but see, now the ball passes to us. You know, there's been a handoff. Here's the ball. Now we have to run with it. Me and you. I heard it mentioned. Oh, there's just not that many ministries out there that are preaching and putting this out anymore. Well, there's a lot of people out there. There's people in Minnesota that know this. There's people in Florida that know this. In North Carolina that know this. There's people in Nebraska that know this truth and how important it is that the people in this land, who they came from. There's people in California that know this. There's people in Washington and Oregon and New Mexico and Colorado and Wyoming and all over and Canada that know this. And none of us can sit back and expect somebody else to share this truth, somebody else to put it forward. We've all got our circles. We've all got our people. Maybe we're not comfortable with sharing this with them. Well, there's never been a better time. Never, ever, ever has there been a better time in our lifetimes than this horrid economy, then this invasion that this nation, this once free Christian republic, has been all but taken over and is being invaded by millions. Talk about the locusts of Joel that have come in across the southern and now the northern border. There's never been a better time. There's never been a better time to remember the scriptures there in Corinthians where it says, be not deceived, right? Be not deceived. And, you know, we're not asking anybody to join the 700 Club. We're not asking anybody to send big checks. We're not asking anybody to do things like that. No, we're just out of love trying to let you know that, guess what? The end days, perilous times. Perilous times will come. That's where we are at. Remember 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do not be deceived. See, the world is deceived. Heard O. Biden today. Oh, it's just, it's almost hate the way these Republicans are passing laws against the transgenders and neglecting them health care and not allowing them to go to doctors. See, they're deceived. They're either sons of hell or they're deceived. And we have a commandment that's as big as any of the Big Ten that says, do not be deceived. Right there in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do not be deceived. So it's time to wake up. You know, when you're asleep and dreaming, you ever have a dream that, boy, it seems real. Man, it's maybe you do something you wouldn't normally do, or something happens, or somebody's there, something. But you have a dream, and when you wake up, it's like, oh my gosh, that was so real. But you have to not be deceived. You have to make sure that you once you wake up, you remember, hey, that was a dream. That's not real. Whatever it was. You have to not be deceived. And so many in this land today are deceived. Let me tell you a big group of people that are deceived, that are double-minded. Mentioned it a little bit last night with Brother Paul at the end of the prayer meeting last night. A big group of people that are deceived, and they are called Judeo-Christians. Judeo-Christians are deceived. If you call yourself, it's like calling yourself a virgin whore. It don't work. It don't work. It's like calling yourself a male female. It don't work. It's deception. It just ain't so. A Judeo-Christian. Oh, that's a Christian because Christianity has Judaism as its roots. That's what they tell you. Judaism is filth. It denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm not going to say it gets worse than that, but there's other things that are horrible about Judaism as well. And so how can you claim to be a Judeo-Christian, Judeo-denying Christ and Christian accepting Christ? See, that's a spell. It's a spell of deception that has been put across most, a lot anyway, of America, of Christians in America. I'm not talking about Antichrist sinners out there that are just embracing sin left and right. I'm not talking about the after-school Satan Club founders. I'm talking about people that think that they're just fat and happy. They've grown fat and happy. They are deceived. Okay? They are deceived. In Revelation 3, the message to the church of Laodicea was, I know your deeds are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were one or the other. I wish that you were cold or hot, he says. But because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That my is a capital M. That is the words of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty, saying that you better be cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, because you're, a Judeo-Christianity. See, that's right on the middle. That's just right in the line. I'm not gonna offend those that deny Jesus. I'm not going to offend those, and I sure don't want to offend any of those LGBTQ cross-dressing transgenders, those that want to destroy our children and mutilate them. I don't want to offend those. I'll just stay right here in the middle. And Jesus says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Verse 17, then he explains what that means. He explains it right here, Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. And that doesn't just mean monetarily. No, there's a lot. I store up treasures in heaven. I don't have any need. I'm fine. I have all I need in Jesus. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And the thought occurs to me that these are the people that honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. They are deceived. He says, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, you know, it is hard to accept that you might be that way. He goes on in verse 18, he says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. White garments, white garments. How do we buy white garments from God? This is advice from the Word of God, Revelation 3:17. God says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire and white garments so that you may clothe yourself. Look over at Galatians 3:27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. All of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. How about all of you who have not been baptized into Christ? What about you? Well, you have not been clothed with Christ. This is given in love. And if you're able to share it again, you give it in love as well. That's what it is. That's the instruction. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. It says, so that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. We are to worship him certainly in spirit and in truth. And those that just raise their hand, those that accept Jesus as their personal Savior, they may worship him in spirit, but not in truth. Not in the truth of the Word. And if you are a Judeo-Christian, you are deceived. And you can say, I just don't think about it that way. I just don't see it that way. Well, I understand that. So you need to buy eye salve to anoint your eyes so you can see. Because you are poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked when you are not clothed with Christ. You know that Nebraska. You know that Virginia. You know that South Dakota. You know that New Mexico. You know that Colorado. You know that Florida. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm not ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of his word. Don't be ashamed of his word, which is truth. The time is short. We are to work as long as it is day. Well, looking at the clock, wow, almost out of time. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the AI. Maybe I can put this together for a newsletter article. I'll work on that because I think that is what it is. It ties in with building the Tower of Babel, with its rebellion to God. It's the desire to do better than God, to think we can do better. I see this article. I don't know if I can find it here. This is a one. That one. If it's this one, there's a quote. It says, "You AI can make you better." Okay, AI, it can make you better. Let me see if I can find it before we go. Oh, it can make you more this, more that. Yeah, we need to be better. We need to be better, but not from a computer. Okay, I don't see it here. I'll try to get it in a newsletter article coming up this year. Yeah, we need to be better by repenting and by turning to the Word and the wisdom of God that has not changed from before in the beginning. Because God does not change. Jesus Christ says, "I am the same yesterday, today, yea, tomorrow." God does not change. And His wisdom is sufficient. It is. It is enough. Well, Remnant, thanks. Thanks for tuning in. I want to invite you back Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Hope you'll join us 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast for coffee with the Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open, and we'll have our Bibles and some coffee and good fellowship and... And hopefully we'll all learn a little bit from the Word of God. And so we hope that you'll join us for that. Again, thanks for tuning in. And thank all of you that support us, allow us to be here. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift His countenance upon you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name. God bless.
Look in your Bible, and there you will see four horsemen riding with lightning speed. The fourth one, a veiled horse, oh, soon he will pass.